there's no point in faking your personality or trying to be someone you're not, because then you're just going to surround yourself with people who don't match that energy. So just like I said, just be you and own up to it. You're stuck with you for as long as you know. You might as well get comfy.
Hi, my sweets. Welcome back. I'm Barbie Jean, your host. And today on Sweet Release, we have my beautiful second guest in Charleston. Welcome, Taylor.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And this is your first podcast.
Thanks so much for being here. Thank you for having me.
So. Yeah, it's a little weird with all the lights and the cameras, but you'll settle in nicely. You seem so genuine and authentic. And, you know, I found you online and I'm just grateful for you to be here and share your story with us a little bit more. I would love to start with, you know, how you kind of fell into the kinky community.
Right. Okay. That is a loaded question. I'm not going to lie to you. I have been interested in kink and kind of the lifestyle for as long as I can possibly remember. Like, I remember being a little kid with my little shoelaces and just like doing weird stuff with rope and being all silly and playful. So not in like a weird kind of way, just me being me, artistic. And as I got older, especially now, I'm finally allowed to be free to explore myself and explore things with other people without it being illegal.
For sure. Right?
So that's just where it started. Like I've always been this way. I've always been interested and
kind of creative.
Exactly.
And wanting to explore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's kind of how I felt from a young age too, was, you know, I was exploring even little power dynamics and like with games and,
right,
and just having fun, with textures. And I feel like so many of us like separate that. And I know it's different when you're a kid, but sometimes it can evolve in your adult life and you can be like, oh, that actually, like, I've always been kind of into.
Right. Not in like a weird way at all. Right. It's just like, oh, I was playing with ropes and sensory stuff and just being what I am now, just super creative and artistic. And
yeah, I like how you talk about kink in a way that makes it feel like, you know, it is this creative expression, but it's also this, you know, it's art.
It is.
And could you elaborate, like, how it's has it always felt like that for you? Are there times when it's like been like different?
For me, and I know this is for a lot of people as well. I've talked to a lot of people. They say, including myself, that kink and lifestyle and any kind of fetish doesn't really stem from sexual pleasure, but just enjoyment and almost like a hobby where there's no like vulgar sexual part. It's purely safe for work, but I don't really know how to like explain that.
There's not sexual desire.
Right. It just comes from expression. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no.
Yeah. Sometimes sex isn't connected to kink and fetishes.
Exactly.
But it can be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of people, when they think of kink, they automatically are like, oh, that's foreplay, that's sex. And yeah, you're right. Like, there's so much more to it. I've had some really cathartic releases from it, or even like healed through it. Mm-hmm. Have you had anything like that where it's just been like a session that has been not sexual whatsoever?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, most of the time, honestly, it is very sexual and it is very, just for my pleasure, like.
And a connective experience too, right, not just for yourself, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the words, but.
No, you're good. Sometimes they just stop coming.
Like, I know what I want to say, but they're not coming.
Is there a scene or something that you've had that you could like paint a picture for us and how that kind of is not sexual, or sometimes it leads into the playful nature, if you're comfortable sharing?
I'm just trying to think. I could share. I just am trying to think of a certain situation.
I mean, you do really love rope, right? Mm-hmm. Rope is.
Well, okay. I do have an example, and it's in the future. So I am planning an event in spring.
Oh, nice.
Where I'm hoping to invite as many creative people as possible. And we're just going to do like a giant brain collaboration of creativity and art. So I'm hoping, I was going to rent out a photo shoot studio, but it's just way too expensive. It was like $1,500. So instead, I'm just going to find a place to host a bunch of people, and everyone is free to express themselves. It's not a play party, and, you know, there's not going to be any like intercourse, but I'm hoping, you know, some people can be naked or, you know, wear whatever costume they want. They could,
choose to express themselves in whatever way.
I was hoping to include, like JDM Japanese cars.
Oh, okay.
On top of rope or, costumes, lingerie. I've been super into, like foxtails with the butt plugs and stuff and the bunny tail. So that'd be fun to include with cars. Just like a weird mix of things that usually wouldn't be mixed, but it's not like I said, it's not like a play party or anything. It's not.
Well, it's focused on the creativity and the expression.
Right.
And that's my favorite play parties that I've been to a bunch in Los Angeles. You know, I've kind of been in the kinky community for, I'd say like for 9 years, since I moved to LA, I like dove into it. Mm. But the parties that I found in the last few years that like really resonate with me or that feel really genuine and authentic have been the ones that focus on creativity.
Right.
And like performances.
Right.
And, you know, just like the eclectic energy, and it's not all, and it's not about sex. And my partner and I don't even think we've even had sex at any of the events because there's so many other things you can do, whether it is shibari or electro play or, you know, certain things. Sometimes it's just fun to enjoy and even mingle. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, oh my God, that's awesome. I would love to attend.
Just this weekend, we actually got one of those like electrical stimulation ones. And we were just sitting there in bed playing with it. But you reminded me of something. LA probably has a lot better of a scene than here in Charleston, but about 2 hours away is Columbia, and there's a group there, and you know, you go through their rules and like their membership rules and stuff, and they don't allow any part of intercourse or oral or penetration. It's not allowed, but they still host play parties. So it's all about like sessions and kinks and scenes, and
that's cool.
Just allowing people to explore that area without that pressure of like trying to play with someone.
Yeah.
So it's just completely off limits their group.
I love that. Mm. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. Because I'm new here, there's so much that I'm so curious about and curious about exploring. Yeah. How did you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. How did you meet him?
We met in high school.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
So about 2.5 years ago,
okay.
A little over 2.5 years ago, we like locked eyes in the hallway. It was really
nice.
just dreamy. And it just took off from there.
Amazing.
So,
and you guys explore a lot together. Was it like that from the beginning?
No. That's what I was kind of going to get into, is that after about a year of dating, we kind of just like any other couple, we were like, be really interesting if we added someone else into the equation. So we started looking for someone who was willing to be open to showing us how the world works, how it works. And it just really started off from there. That's where it really started to kick off.
So you guys have been with women and couples and groups and things like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself queer? Like, do you like all different?
I call myself pansexual, and I think he's pretty much the same way. We're very similar. I'm open to anyone and everything.
Nice.
I don't have a preference. I just like people who can connect and have a great time. I really don't care what you look like, how old you are, or anything like that. So,
yeah, I feel similarly. Like, it's, well, I wasn't maybe when I was your age. Like, I think I focused a lot on looks when I was younger, but the older I've gotten, the more I focus on energy and like your brain.
Exactly.
And that is kind of really cool that you're already there. And so, yeah, that's amazing. Did you have like role models growing up or people in your life that gave you good, like, I don't know, gave you that good positive connection with sex? No, you just
I just like figured it out all by myself. I was on the train all by myself, trying to
pave your path.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would love to go back to your relationship with your man. So communicating, I think like I get a lot, that's like one of the biggest questions I get when you're in a kind of an open dynamic is like, how do you communicate?
That question has come up a lot from other people. Yeah.
How do you, what have you learned or what could you educate some of my listeners on what you've mm-hmm. learned? Yeah.
I'm going to preface by saying that my partner and I are so similar in so many ways that we're always on the same page. A lot of the times we don't have to verbally communicate to know what each other are okay with. So a lot of it is just us being so familiar with each other that we already know a lot of things. But of course we do have like a set in stone list of limits that doesn't ever change. And then we also have, you know, before like a certain scene or before a certain party, we discuss like, what's up? Like, how are you feeling? Or, you know, is there anything that you're not really wanting from this? Or
yeah, your boundaries.
But it changes all the time. The boundaries change all the time, mm-hmm. depending on the situation. So that's kind of a tough question to ask because sometimes we communicate, sometimes we don't, sometimes it changes. It really just depends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I think being in tune with your partner is so huge. And I think a lot of people, when they are in relationships, sometimes they're very unaware or they're not as present and conscious. Mm-hmm. And I think channeling that like awareness or just kind of focusing on your partner, just the little things can make you feel more in tune. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a lot of people like are just more disconnected. And so it's nice to hear that you guys are so connected.
Right. Like I was actually telling him the other day how we could be completely nonverbal for a month and we'd still know exactly what we would want or need from one another. So
just, that's awesome. I find my partner knows when I'm in a mood before I do myself too. Yeah. Like he'll check with me and I'm like, why are you checking with me? You know, like, and then I notice like, oh wait,
you
like,
know something I don't.
Yeah. You figured it out before I have. So that's awesome. Yeah. I've seen, I think it was a picture. Are you talking about hot wax play or something? Mm-hmm. Is that something you guys love to do? Or was that just like a one-time thing?
We just, that was like the first and one time so far that we would do it again. It made a mess everywhere trying to like get it off. I don't know if you've ever played with wax
very
before.
Very minor. And it's something I'm interested in, which is why I was curious.
it was fun. We got it because it was on clearance at the store. Have you been to the sex store here?
No, I haven't. Okay. Is it a good one?
It's called Guilty Pleasures.
Okay.
The place is huge. They always have stuff on clearance. You could probably spend 2 hours in there. It's ginormous. But anyways, we got the wax. It was on clearance. We went home and played with it. It was really fun. But the cleanup was
a mess.
It was a mess. So we will just keep that in mind next time we get wax. But
yeah, I'm not a huge messy person. I was talking to my last guest about how squirting isn't my favorite thing because it's like it makes a mess. Even with the blanket, like it's just like clean up. I don't want to clean up. that's fun. So, and it sounds like you like to explore and you guys are always down to like try new things. Mm-hmm. Is that something you think you'll keep in your relationship for forever? Like
obviously we're only here sometimes once, we might as well explore and try as many things as we can.
Yeah.
There's no harm in trying. If you don't like it, then you don't like it. So.
Do you have like date nights where you just kind of go to the store or go try something new, or does it just kind of come organically for you guys?
We just had a date night last week.
Nice.
Because it was his birthday. So we went up to Hilton Head and brought some of our own wine and looked at a bunch of lights, like candle lights. And then, you know, we went home and we had more date nights. We were always having date nights. He, not too long ago, made like a dinner for the both of us and then also brought wine. And then we played, what was it? It was like a mystery box thing that you have to solve.
Oh, fun.
So we're always hanging out with each other and And having date nights.
Doing games. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely times where we're like, let's go to the store, pick something out from clearance, go home and try it. So mm-hmm. It's fun.
I love that. Yeah, for my birthday, we always try to do something big too. Mm-hmm. So that's cool to hear that you celebrated his birthday last week. But yeah, when I turned 30, we did like 30 orgasms, you know, in like one sitting. Yeah. We like finished before noon. It was amazing. I was like, yes. But you probably know, like, yeah. Did you just roll over? Do yours ever just roll over? Like they can just like keep going.
It can get intense, but yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
I feel like a lot of men that I dated in my younger years, you know, they wouldn't even make me orgasm, or when it would happen just once, they were like, oh, I did it. And then the older I got, I'm like, no, it's actually better the second and the third and the fourth time. Keep it going. Yeah. Yeah. Have you learned to communicate during intimate moments more, or how have you become like more empowered in like what you enjoy or what you desire?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I think people need to just be themselves and get comfortable being themselves. Even today, I was like, what if I mess up? What if I say something stupid or I can't think of what to say? But I'm just like, that's me. So I'm just going to be myself. I'm going to do what I need to make sure that people are okay and that I'm okay. So just be yourself.
I love that.
Be yourself. My partner and I, we are very prone to just having intimacy, like having an intimate moment and just watching TV or having a full-blown conversation. There's been plenty of times where we meet similar, like-minded friends who are open and we're having a conversation while they're having fun and they're just like sitting in the corner of the room, just doing our own thing, or, you know, just open to exploration, open to all sorts of energy, and just be comfortable, being comfortable with yourself and who you are and what you want. So.
Yeah. That authenticity is a big thing I talk about here. And so, yeah, all of that, it's true. Like, just be authentic, be yourself, and also welcome pleasure when it feels good, even if it's like watching TV or whenever the time comes, like as long as you feel good and you're not crossing anyone's boundaries,
right,
then explore it. One of my favorite times to masturbate is when I'm watching TV. I don't know why.
Just scrolling on your phone. Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Just do what feels good. Mm-hmm. Have you always felt super connected to your body, or has it kind of grown in the last...
I'm always growing. If we looked back 6 months ago, I would not be here right now. Like,
oh, really?
I'm always growing. I'm always changing. I'm always a different person. So that's kind of another like tough question. Like, I could probably talk about every single little detail and we'd be here for 5 hours, but I'm a very fast grower. I'm a fast learner. So.
Oh, that's going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell how genuine you are. And yeah, so I mean, and you're pretty young. So the fact that you're already where you are, I mean, it's empowering to see. So I'm happy that you're here today.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. Has self-love too. I mean, you said 6 months ago, you're a lot different than you here today. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been like a time where you felt like insecure?
I'm always insecure.
How have you learned to deal with that? Or do you have any tools that have helped you?
I'm trying to think.
No, that's okay. You are pretty artistic. Are you just kind of creative?
Well, I mean, if I'm painting a bear with a hat right now, if that tells you where my artistic abilities lie right now.
A bear with a hat.
A bear with a hat.
It sounds like something my man was, he was drawing like penguins yesterday.
Yeah, my art's not very serious. It's just, I'm bored. So let me paint something fun. But when it comes to insecurities, it's nice to surround yourself with people who can lift you up. Mm-hmm. And I found that the more that you are unapologetically you, the more likely you are to find people who can support who you truly are. So there's no point in faking your personality or trying to be someone you're not because then you're just going to surround yourself with people who don't match that energy. So just like I said, just be you and own up to it. You're stuck with you for as long as you know, you might as well get comfy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. It's true. Even in the kinky or the sex positive community too, I'm always reminding people to surround yourself with those like-minded individuals. Whether you have certain kinks, you can come up here, baby girl. Sorry, my little dog is joining the party these days. Surround yourself with like-minded individuals to make you feel like, you know, a lot of people that are super kinky or sexual, there's a lot of shame deeply rooted in that. And so I think just like meeting people that, like you said, uplift you or make you feel like you're not alone and make you feel like what you like is, you know, it's normal to just be, mm-hmm. be into whatever you're into. So I think that's awesome to hear that you also surround yourself with such amazing people.
Right. When you find the right group, where was I going with that? I don't know.
Maybe just feeling more secure in who you are.
Right.
And yeah, I just think that's the key to life too, is owning your power, but also surrounding yourself with powerful people. And I remember hearing once like to not be the smartest in the room or to surround yourself with people that are all smarter than you, because then you're always going to grow and you're always going to evolve. Mm-hmm. And so that's like just another way to say it.
Yeah, that's a good way to phrase it.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into maybe a little bit more sensuality and kink. That's something that I really have harnessed in the last few years, is like the fact that kink sometimes can feel so like structured and rigid and harsh. But I feel like you, similarly to me, like notice like the texture of the rope or the senses. Mm. And could you elaborate on kind of the things that you enjoy about it, like in the senses, if that makes sense, while Par is not trying to bring it.
There you go.
Baby girl.
Sorry, I got totally distracted by this little kid.
She's getting into it today. Yeah, the senses. I think you posted on your profile how you're really into like the sensuality of it. And even earlier when you were talking about rope, like the texture of the rope, is that something mm-hmm. like even when you're in a scene that you focus on more so than like maybe the power dynamic, or does that make sense?
It does, but it's really a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You mentioned how there can be a lot of rigidness and structure, but I always find myself, again, going with the flow and seeing what would fit in that situation, or being very flexible, again, and open-minded. So
kind of just going with the flow.
Right. But when it comes to like everything sensory, I don't know. Everything's a sensory experience, whether that be tingling or pain or a pleasure, or just what kind of pressure feels good or not. It's all part of the sensory experience. Or sometimes it's the lack of sensory, you know, like blindfolds or headphones or a gag can really amplify everything else, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that's how I see it too. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, even life is a sensory experience. So mm-hmm. when we're adding all these playful parts to it, it's just amplifying it, or yeah, like taking them away, but amplifying the other areas mm-hmm. that make the orgasm stronger or more impactful, or yeah, like the vibrations of your whole body mm-hmm. feel more good, or yeah, like the cathartic releases that you can experience, mm-hmm. Visions. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you've had it all, like I've had it all. But yeah, and you were saying how you've been getting into the tails and the, is that, I mean, obviously it's a plug too, mm-hmm. but is that too, like just the furriness, is that kind of like one, like a playful additive texture, but also maybe like primal play?
Yeah, exactly. I love playing around. I love a lot. When I'm with my partner, it feels like we're children a lot, because we get into like these weird characters and just start being silly and playing around, just like you'd see a kindergartner with their little like they're Barbies and they're playing this whole dramatic scene. So it's a lot like that, where we're just being very playful and, you know, maybe we're attacking each other or we're running around or dancing, and we're just being as many things as we can. You know, people can be very versatile. Some people dress up as like certain characters or certain personas, but why not just dress up as whatever you want or whatever you find fun and interesting? If you want to be a cat, be a cat. So
I agree.
I don't know.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, cat is the one energy that I feel like I resonate with the most of all the animals. Mm-hmm. I think because I love to crawl around. So I think just like crawling around.
It is fun. Yeah.
That cat, I might have to get some tails.
You should.
Yeah. It's, I think too, the more you explore with different primal energies or different role playing, the more like you learn about yourself, and you mm-hmm. might find something that you never thought that you'd be into. But once you start role playing that with someone that you trust and feel safe with, then it can be like, oh, wow, like I didn't even think that that part of me existed. Mm-hmm. And now it's bringing out so much more within me and within us. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about it.
About a year ago, when we were just getting into the lifestyle, we met a couple who we're still really close friends with. They're our best friends in the lifestyle. They brought us home after a really nice date night, and they just got like so excited showing us all of their toys and stuff. And one of the first things they brought out was, I think it was a real foxtail. And my partner and I looked at each other, we're like, we can get that. We can do that. We didn't even think about it. It didn't even cross our minds. So it was nice to be shown all of the possibilities that you can do with people that you love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to have that couple to open your eyes to something new and show you kind of the ropes in mm-hmm. a way, that's nice. I've been that for a lot of people in my journey. Show you the ropes, yeah, pun intended. I've been, you know, the unicorn for a lot of couples before I met Hunter. And I've been, even like in our relationship, like we've had a lot of firsts or been a lot of women's firsts, you know, with couples. And I always feels good to like open people's minds.
It does. That's part of the fun. Like,
yeah,
you're the one who gets your mind open, and then you can start finding little lost sheepies to open their minds, and it's just a cycle.
Yeah, we had a really awesome foursome with this couple before we left LA, and she was like, I could kind of catch a vibe initially right off the rip that she wasn't super bisexual. Like she seemed definitely more into him, and which was fine. So mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, energies, like I'm used to all of it. But I could catch that vibe initially. And so I asked her before we started getting frisky, like, yeah, how do you, you know, what are your boundaries around women? What do you like? And she said that she never really goes down on women. But then fast track an hour or two later, she's like, I want to go down on you. And I was like, oh my God,
yay.
So she's like, it's been years. And yeah, so it always makes you feel good when you can be like that. Yeah, like that flower, allowing them to blossom in a way, or, you know.
I would feel so honored.
I have been that first for a while. For many women, I had this girl on my podcast who is into kind of the sex coaching space and the kink space. And she told me on air that I was the first pussy she ever licked. And I didn't even remember it. I felt so bad. It was so humiliating because it was at like a party. And it was just, you know, I just didn't even know that that was her first, you know. So it's cool to always be reminded that, you know, okay, yeah, I'm this beautiful pussy that everyone wants to lick. But yeah, that's nice to hear that you found some like nice couples in the space. And do you guys often find people just online
or no, groups? We started off online on like Reddit and, you know, whatever app was around. And we just, not surprisingly, got flooded with single men, and they don't read anything. Mm-hmm. But whatever. That's a whole different thing. But we've kind of moved away from trying to meet people online and just find events or groups to just meet people more authentically in person.
Nice. I've seen like some of your events that you're going to in the future, and it seems like there are kind of a lot of events in this area. Are you, and you're hosting an event soon? Do you ever struggle finding people in the community, or has it, I mean, I guess it's what you know.
Yeah. It's kind of a trial and error process.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of times where we go to an event or we go to meet a certain couple and it doesn't work out. But lately we've been very involved with this one group in particular who has been very welcoming and kind and very local to here. So that's been nice to get to know that group and be welcomed with open arms.
Nice.
But that took, like I said, a lot of trial and error to try and find those people.
I think with anything, especially something so intimate like this, it takes a long time to find your community or people. Because there's also so many different pockets wherever you are that are just don't resonate with like what we're into, which is maybe more energetic, more creative, you know, people that are conscious and aware, that sort of thing. And so there's so many groups, I'm sure, that, you know, are just in it for the orgasms. And
exactly. that's exactly right. There was a group recently that we tried and it was really just
gave you the ick.
Yeah. Like it was really, I don't want to say gross, but it was all just, you know, you have to drink lots of fucking.
Yeah.
Lots of fucking, lots of sex. And it wasn't really my vibe.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I love a good play party, but it just wasn't really what I was looking for. And a lot of the events that I'm going to, even tomorrow, it's a board game night. It's games. And then we go and eat dinner. So a lot of it's just completely safe for work. And it's not kinky or intimate at all. It's really just a group of friends hanging out in
public. That's how it was in LA too.
Exactly.
And there'd be events like a kinky comedy show or things like that where it could lead into maybe playing later. But oftentimes, yeah, it was like game nights or pumpkin decorating nights and things like that.
Yeah,
where it's like, fun. It's just like your community, your friends.
And then of course, once you make the friends, you get invited to parties and then you're like, I kind of like you. Let's play a little.
But yeah, it feels a lot sweeter to meet people and allow it to kind of like slowly build for me anyways. And sometimes it's fun to have like a date night, and don't get me wrong, like we do those where it's like, okay, the intention is probably to have sex if the energy feels good. There is something really sweet about, like meeting people, having it kind of grow organically. And then like when you're put in that setting, or maybe you create a night around that setting, and then it just kind of like grows into even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Do you like your partner now, do you guys have boundaries? I know you talked about how you have your limits set and things like that, but my partner and I only like play together. Do you have things like that that you've learned that works for you?
We're pretty similar in that way, where we are kind of a package deal. We usually, my stomach.
Oh no, I didn't hear it. You're good.
We usually play together and do stuff together, mainly because we find confidence in each other, and it's a lot easier to
lean
blossom when we have each other to lean on. Exactly. But when it comes to like play specifically, always condoms, always. That's a big thing. Hygiene is, of course, a big thing in the lifestyle as well. I'm actually not on any birth control whatsoever, which is a little risque. But that's why we are very careful with our boundaries and are very particular with who we play with. So those are like the big ones.
Yeah.
Right. Of course, I think the biggest one is to just communicate, because it does always change.
Totally.
So it's just communicate.
Yeah. For us, for a while, it wasn't really a boundary, but I could just tell that he wasn't really ready for me to like be with another guy, or we were just kind of taking it slow. From my experience too, being in other open relationships, I just felt like it made more sense to go slow. And because I'm the bisexual or more queer one, I was craving pussy. And so I was like, let's bring women into their relationship. And so we did that for a while, but then, you know, the time came and we talked a lot about it and communicated, and it was like, oh yeah, let's explore a couple, you know, and more group play. And so it has grown and shifted. And I mean, even that foursome that we had before we left, like, there was like a moment where he had orgasmed, and I like went down to like share some of the cum with her. And he would told me afterwards, like, you know, that was like, didn't sit right with me. And, you know, it wasn't something that he knew about. And so it's just like always communicating about things that might come up. Exactly. Or, and then you just adjust.
Exactly. A lot of the time you don't know until you experience it. You're like, oh, I didn't know I wouldn't like that, but now I do. So in the future, let's, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Cause then you also, trial and error is totally fine, but also visualizing it too sometimes doesn't even do it. You know, as much as you think about it ahead of time, in the moment, your body's going to tell you something differently, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, are you hungry?
I guess so.
What is your, speaking of appetite, I mean, what is your sexual appetite these days? Do you have certain things that you're really into or your favorites right now?
As much as I love the lifestyle with other people, I have been having a lot of fun with just my partner. We've been spending a lot of time just by ourselves and having a lot of fun with just each other. So nice. That's my appetite is him.
Yeah. Yeah. And nesting, sometimes you get in that. I mean, I've been with him for 6 years and I feel like there's flows where it's like, dude, I don't even want to be with anyone but you. Or then there's moments where it's like, yeah, I want to go out and explore.
It changes. It's like a wave. So it changes a lot. But right now we're in that, let's just enjoy each other moment. And then sooner or later we'll be like, oh, I'm really want to go have some fun with other people. Let's go. And yeah, that's that.
Love it. Love it. And you also, I mean, you talk a lot about your like peachy. Is that kind of your nickname? I don't know. Does he call you like peachy? Peachy tea. Because you have a nice, delicious booty. But do you also really love anal play?
I do. It's a lot of fun, but oh my God, it can be really painful too. So we have to prepare, of course, like any other thing, you have to prepare and make sure that everything is all good in that region. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's something that I try to encourage men to explore as well. And I feel like the more that we introduce it to them slowly, you know, let them kind of, you know, realize how delicious it is for us, but also how delicious it can be for them too. I'm always like encouraging that because so many people are just fearful. And like you said, it can be really painful. So you do have to take those baby steps. But it is an area that like, yes, please go for it.
Yeah. We both, my partner, we both kind of are really into it.
Nice.
I think him more than me, but I'm just too scared to hurt him. Like, are you sure that's not hurting?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to check in. But yeah, when you see someone, something that maybe you wouldn't enjoy as much, sometimes it's like, oh my God, are you sure? Like, is this okay? Even the first time I pegged a guy, I was like surprised at how like intense it felt. And it's definitely an intensity that you think, like, obviously we're used to getting pounded into, but when you're kind of exploring it on the other way, it's like, oh, it's just
a whole different side of the spectrum.
Yeah. I love it. Well, do you have any fun stories you'd be willing to share about maybe a time where we haven't talked too much about like healing? Has there been like anything with kink or pleasure or even self-pleasure or a moment for you that you've, I don't know, like for me, for an example, I guess I just feel like sometimes I lean on self-pleasure when I'm feeling really anxious or stressed, or even when my aunt passed away, it was so weird, but I had like a orgasm where I cried as well and just kind of like let out a release in a way. Has there ever been anything like that for you, or have you like leaned on it to help you move through pain or something?
I honestly, I don't think so. I definitely have had moments where I took a giant step into growth and healing a wound, but it was never with kink or sex or that sort of pleasure. I usually can't really mix the two. If there's something that needs to be healed and I'm hurting, I can't, like, those are just two separate parts of the world that I can't really mix. But I can definitely see your side of the story. So I'm not trying to like,
no, I understand you're not discounting me. We're also different. We're also unique, and it makes perfect sense why you would also keep them completely separate. One of my good friends, we were talking about how intimacy can be so orgasmic, but it could also be, so therapeutic and so many things. And she's like, yeah, but for me, like, it just doesn't feel the same way that you see it. So, it makes perfect sense. Well, I would love to hear that last time you had that sweet release, if you're comfortable sharing.
I'm not going to lie. Last night.
Yes.
I could not sleep last night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. My partner was completely asleep, but I woke him up and we had some fun.
Yay.
He's really confused, but
it's been a while since I woke up my man with that. I remember in the beginning we were constantly having like morning sex or doing that sort of thing. And lately it's been a while.
Yeah. And I love toys, but vibration isn't my biggest thing. It's okay. So when I'm like really needing some sweet release, that's who I go to. I need to go to him. So
nice. It's nice. That's good though. I think some of us, like, we lean sometimes on vibrators, or we get so comfortable with the sensations that you forget how beautiful it feels with just the bodies. Does that make sense?
Two sweaty bodies.
Yeah. The gooey sweatiness. Yum. What are some of your favorite toys? I guess you've already mentioned like the foxtail.
Right. I do have a few vibrators, but they are they're not powerful at all. They're not like the big powerful what's that one that everyone
has? The Hitachi.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. They're just like very low settings. Maybe I'll find some pleasure with that. But we have all kinds of toys. We have
like, you have a ropes. Toy box.
Yeah, we have a toy. It's like
chest.
It's gigantic. Yeah.
Nice.
Lots of bondage gear, lots of like the pinwheel, you know, like the Wartenberg pinwheel. That's fun.
Oh yeah. Do you like pain at all?
Not extreme pain. I'm not a total masochist, but a little pain where it's not harming me physically is really fun. Do you like pain at all? Or?
I like to be spanked and I like floggers. We have a nice those flogger. Are fun.
Just not to the point with like bleeding.
Oh yeah.
Or,
same.
Or bruising. That's not really my thing.
That's my boundary too, is like so much pain that it marks me is not my thing. I've been like bruised little bits here and there, but typically, I like the sting because I can kind of use that. I don't know, something about the sting I kind of channel into my body and kind of make it vibrate all through me. And so, yeah, even face slapping I like. Some of like the crop or some of those more harsher tools, not my favorite. But rope is one of my favorite.
It's really fun.
Yeah, bondage. And have you ever been suspended?
I'm working on it. I'm trying really hard to collaborate with this one individual in North Carolina, but life is so busy. It's so busy, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. I've been thinking about, I hosted a few events in LA, teaching like Shibari. I partnered with a friend of mine and she taught like a yoga flow and it was like a couples thing. So she did like a yoga flow and then I did, three like introductory knots of like tying rope and then we ended with like kind of like a meditation sort of eye gazing thing. And I really loved it. And I've been thinking how I should kind of bring more of those events here? Is that something?
We need more events like that.
Okay. We do. I wondered if people, if there are any kink events here, or if people are doing anything like that.
Not really. The Charleston scene is a little disappointing, despite the Pineapple City.
I keep hearing it's Daniel Island is where all the pineapple people are. Is that true?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I've heard from a couple people now. They're like, oh, if you're looking for the swingers, they're over there.
They're probably, I don't know. It's okay. It's not the best scene. I think Columbia has a pretty good scene of people. And then North Carolina also has a lot better scene than here in Charleston. So we could definitely use some
more
events
of those
like
events.
That. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going
to
start.
The hard part is finding the right people to come to those events.
True. Yeah. Well, I would love if you have anything else, I don't know, any more wisdom you'd like to share or final tips for my audience about just loving yourself or being yourself, or I don't know, you just seem very, you just seem very genuine.
Thank you.
And
so do you.
Thank you. Yeah. It's nice to find kinky people here that are also genuine and sweet like me. So, any last tips you want to share or anything that comes to mind?
I can't think on the spot.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate getting to know you, and thanks so much for being here, and I hope it wasn't too weird.
I've done weirder.
For sure. Well, thanks again, Taylor, and to my sweets, thanks so much for coming back. Be sweet to yourself. Be sweet to those organic and weird, funky conversation. And yeah, as always, welcome the sweet releases. We'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.